The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
18, look at verse 7. The Bible says, "And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands. And Saul was very wroth, saying it displeased him. And he said, I have ascribed unto David, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands." Now, wait a minute, if you will. So here's a king that has everything. A king, if you would please, that has the kingdom before him. Namely, you see that in the latter portion of the verse. And so he's got everything at his fingertips. And yet, there's David. David goes out, and David kills Goliath. He comes back, the ladies begin to sing. They begin to play a melodious song. And they begin to sing, if you would please, a song of victory. But here Saul is. Saul all of a sudden looks at David, and that old green-eyed monster of jealousy begins to rise. So I want to speak tonight on dealing with jealousy. It's Christmas time. You'll have it. It's time where people receive gifts that they don't want, but they want somebody else's gift. It's time when somebody cooks a meal, but they thought that perhaps they could have did better than the person that cooked the meal. So there's a lot of jealousy. Look at verse 9, if you will. Same chapter, 1 Samuel 18 and 9, verse 9. The Bible says, "And Saul eyed David from that day and forward." And so here's a jealous man. What's he doing? He's stricken in his heart with this jealousy. He looks at David, said, "It's just not right. The kingdom's going to be divided." He's thinking all these things, comes into his heart. The Bible says that he eyed him from that day forward. So tonight, as I speak on this subject matter, I do believe that probably it's one of the biggest dividers that some allow to happen in a family, among friends. Yeah, even in the church. I think it destroys innocent people. I think that it may destroy and be the most destructive sin in the relationships that people have. You know, this sin, it causes heartache, it causes sadness, it causes depression, it causes broken hearts, it causes broken homes. You've seen people that have all of a sudden taken on that which is a depiction of gloom because of it, ruined dreams. It begins to derail people's lives. It builds hatred in some people, and we call it the green-eyed monster. You know, David had killed Goliath. That's a big thing. You know, the children of Israel with their army was gathered on the hillside. Here Goliath was making a forest of that which is the living God. He was staking claims that God is not who he says he is. And all the children of Israel just stood there and gawked at his size, would not go out, would not face him, would not try to destroy him. And here little David, comparatively spoke, picks up that which is the sling, and he ventures out eventually to be able to take care of that giant, the enemy of Israel. So Saul was king at the time. King, you can't get a higher place in the kingdom than king. You know, he was used to getting all the attention. There comes, of course, the new hero on the scene, if you will. As he steps out on the scene, that young new hero, and people begin to sing. By the way, they were just singing the songs of praise because of the victory that was wrought. That doesn't mean that King Saul was going to be replaced upon his throne. But David comes from the battlefield after defeating that which is Goliath. And David quickly becomes the new national hero. I mean, the young ladies begin to sing that Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain his tens of thousands, if you will. And that hatred began to build in Saul's heart. Saul reacted to David's success. It kind of brought more jealousy in his life, as depicted in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 18, where the Bible says, "And Saul eyed David from that day forward." So this sin is called jealousy. It's called jealousy. It's jealousy in the heart. Now, some people try to hide it, but eventually it does come to the surface. But think about it. Are you jealous of anyone? Is there somebody, I don't know, maybe in this room, maybe in your family, maybe down at the workplace, maybe at the college that you attend. Are you jealous of someone? Who has your attention? Who do you have your eyes fixed upon? Who sings, if you would please, better than you sing? Or who gets more attention better or more than you get? Or who teaches better than you teach? Preachers they fall prey to this. Who's the better preacher? Who's the better bus captain? As bus captains fall prey to this, or maybe a Sunday school teacher, or an athlete, or a Christian, a mother, a father, a student, or maybe somebody that's a deacon. But people fall prey to this. Saul's eyes, if you would please, burned with fire. If you would, the jealousy, the rage of jealousy. Jealousy is the enemy to success. It really is, because now you're not focusing on what you need to improve. You're only focusing on what somebody else has. Jealousy can be found in the Garden of Eden. You see that Adam and Eve, of course, had the two sons. There's Cain that destroyed the very life, took the very life, murdered Abel. What was that over? Jealousy. All right. Jealousy can be traced all the way back to that horrific, catastrophic days of Korah. There's Korah and Moses, and you'll see that Moses was the chosen leader of the children of Israel. And here comes Korah. Korah and a few men, what did they want to do? They wanted to destroy his influence or his power, if you would please, in that congregation. And then jealousy enters into that heart, and it shows itself up in the tongue, where he says this. Korah says, you've taken too much upon you. And so jealousy, we have to be careful about it. Jealousy is traced back to the story of Joseph and his brothers. You remember the brothers, how they were so jealous of Joseph. You remember jealousy was what caused strife between Jacob and Esau, the brothers. You remember it was over the birthright, power and money. Jealousy provided the javelin, if you would please, in the hands of Saul as he would hurl it towards David and would say the words, I'm going to kill him. Jealousy is that which corrupted the relationship, the friendship between Barnabas, a good man of God, and Paul, a good man of God. So you have to watch out. You have to watch out. Jealousy produces some things. It produces hatred. It does produce criticism. It produces envy. It produces a slanderous tongue. It produces gossip. It produces a disloyalty. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 34, jealousy is the rage of a man. The Bible says in Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6, jealousy is cruel as the grave. Now you think about a grave. It's dark. It's lonely. It's like a prison, if you will. It's cold. That's what jealousy produces. So jealousy is the result of someone else's success and your lack of success. So statement number one, how is it that we can be helped with jealousy? Statement number one, everyone is tempted. Everyone is tempted by the sin of jealousy. Everyone is tempted. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 is our principle here, where we understand what the Bible teaches. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now watch the first portion of the verse. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So it's common. Everyone is tempted by the sin of jealousy. And what's that mean? That means all leaders are tempted with it. It means that all followers are tempted with it. It means the strong and the weak, the successful, the unsuccessful. It means that those that are men and women and teenagers and children, they're all tempted by that sin that's called jealousy. Statement number two, what are the signs of jealousy? The signs of jealousy. Feelings and emotions are warning signs that there may be something leading up to jealousy. What are signs of jealousy? When you start to feel inferior to someone else, that's a sign of jealousy. When you start to feel insecure, that's a sign of jealousy. When somebody makes you feel dumb and you take that feeling upon you, that's a sign of jealousy. When you feel awkward, when you feel put down, intimidated, threatened, being ineffective, being weak, being frustrated, being somebody that is hurt or guilty, or maybe unsure of yourself, or weak because of something. All right? So there is signs. Now, these are signs of many things, but these are specific signs also that there may be some jealousy. So everyone is tempted by the sin of jealousy. There's signs to jealousy. Now, let's look at this. You can be jealous and hide it, but not, if you would please, for very long. You know, only for so long can you hide it. Only for so long can you hide it. Only for so long can you hide it. Eventually, it's going to creep out. You think of the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel had a vision that God provided for him. Now, wait a minute. You know, many times God will show us things, but sometimes we get confused about God showing us things in the imaginary of the heart. And we have to be careful to understand the imaginary of the heart, because the heart is deceitful. The Bible says, who can know it? So your heart is very deceitful, and who can know it? So you got to be careful to be able to discern if that is a hand of God, or is it just the imaginary of the heart? Okay, so what is the reasons, maybe, that somebody would dislike you? Maybe because you're successful. Maybe because you have some superiority, or maybe the lack of superiority. Maybe because you achieved something. Watch this. Or maybe because you failed at something. Maybe because everybody else envies you. Watch it now. Or maybe because nobody else envies you. You know that jealousy is a rage that is inside of a person. Inside of a person. Have you ever heard somebody speak and you say, oh, I could do better than that? Have you ever heard somebody sing and say, oh, I could do better than that? Have you ever seen somebody build something and say, oh, I could build it better than that? Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I drive this way with my vehicle, and you say, well, I could do better than that? You know, why are you comparing yourself? Does not our Bible teach us that some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise? So God says it's not wise. It's just not wise to compare yourself. Does not our Bible teach us that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? You know, God never made a mistake when he made you. Well, I wish that the pigment of my skin was a different color. Well, that's the way you came out of the shop. Tough. Can't change that. Well, I just wish that I was taller. Well, then go buy high heels. Not you men, please. And I'm saying this, that everyone is tempted by the sin of jealousy. There are signs of jealousy. You can be jealous and hide it, but only for a little time, not for very long. It just is going to reveal itself. Statement number next. Jealousy is the result of comparison. It's the result of comparison. Comparison. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You know, can I just talk with you a little bit? Everybody's different. We all come from different heritage. We all come from a different background. We all have different parents. We're all raised in different parts of the world. So everybody's different. Because we're so different, we see things from a different perspective. Right. We do. We view things differently. Now, the good thing is that you can bring your mind under that which is being subject to Christ, and Christ will help you to view things from a scriptural standpoint, whereby you and I have a lot in common, because we both want to please the Lord. But don't compare yourself to someone else. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So here's what God is teaching us. You do what you should do for God. Do what God wants. Do what God wants you to do. And don't worry about what others do. We learned about Mary and Martha on Sunday. Martha cumbered about. She was concerned. Well, what about Mary? What about Mary? What about Mary? Don't compare yourself. Okay? You do what God wants you to do, and don't worry about what others are doing. You accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, and don't worry about what others are accomplishing. You find the will of God, and you walk therein. Do you grieve at the success of others? Do you grieve at it? Is there a sour taste in your mouth because maybe somebody else has more wealth than you? Do you sulk because somebody's recognized and you're not? Do you hurt because somebody has a nicer wardrobe than you? Do you feel like you've always got to pull somebody else down smaller, shorter, in order for you to become taller? Does your talent pout when somebody else that's singing with you, they get praised and the person just praised them, just walked by you, didn't say a word to you? Does that cause you to pout? God made us with a special purpose to find His will, to do His will, and not to compare ourselves to somebody else that's doing His will in their life. Statement number one, I said this, that everyone is tempted by the sin of jealousy. Statement number two, there's signs of jealousy. Statement number three, you can be jealous and hide it, but only for so long. You can't hide it forever. Statement number next, jealousy is the result of comparison. Statement number next, learn to be truly happy. Learn to be truly happy for others who succeed. Learn to be truly happy. I'm not talking about put on. You're half happy on the inside and it shows up halfway on the outside. No. Go up and pat them on the back and say, hey, you did a super job. And mean it. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, the Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Now, why? Simply because they know that which is righteousness is going to take place in their presence, and that should make anybody rejoice. I'd rather have somebody saved as my boss than somebody that's not saved or knowing of the Scriptures. I'd rather have somebody that would bathe themselves in the Bible, because they're going to treat you more just if they bathe themselves in the Bible and obey the Bible than somebody that would not. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, the Bible says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or if one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Isn't that a blessing? That's the way it should be. That's why we pray for different members in our church. Why? Because they need prayer. We want to encourage them. We want to. Many times I'll say so-and-so's in the hospital. They could sure use an encouraging text. And when I get their permission, I give you their number. And I say, well, if you'd be kind enough to text them. If perhaps I can't get a hold of them and I can't get their number, I'll simply say this. If you're their friend and you know their number, then please text them, encourage them, call them and encourage them. If I can't get a hold of them to be able to get their number at a decent time. All right? And so I'm saying this. I'm saying that we ought not to be those that are phony. If somebody else's bus route grows and yours is not growing, you still ought to rejoice with them. Somebody else's Sunday school class is growing and yours is not growing quite as fast, you still ought to rejoice with them. You're not supposed to be somebody that, that's trying to maybe score points. You're not going to get any more of the love of God. You're not. He loves you to supreme. You can't earn His love. He loves you, period. He loves you, period. You say, well, what if I sin? Well, it hurts His heart, but can I tell you, He still loves you? Yes, He does. All right? You can't earn his love. All right? May I say this? That, if you see somebody else's grades that are better than yours, then don't get jealous of that. Just be encouraged and be motivated to study harder. If you want to get a raise and somebody else gets a raise, well, don't be jealous of that. Just do what you need to do to better yourself to get that raise. You know, if somebody else is getting a newer house than what you have, a bigger house, a more furnished house, a nicer car, nicer clothes, well, thank God for that. Rejoice with them when God blesses them. Don't be jealous of that. All right? If somebody is, they're looking to get hired, and you applied, and another person applied, and that person that's the third one applied looks like to you that they are the most unqualified, but they get hired, then learn to rejoice with that. Don't be jealous over that. I said that everyone is tempted to sin with the sin of jealousy. There are signs of jealousy. You can be jealous and hide it, not very long. Jealousy is the result of comparison. And then we should learn to be happy when others success. Statement number next, stop competing. Stop competing with people on your own team. Stop competing with people on your own team and start realizing that it is Satan who is our opposition. It's not each other. It's Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So there's a who. He's after the who's. Now watch this, if you will. If he can get you, then he's got your money. If he can get you, he's got your faithfulness. So he's after anything he can do to secure you. You're the who that he wants. Oh, and he'll use anything under heaven to do it. The Bible says, for we wrestle not, over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against rulers, it says, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So God says that we're not supposed to wrestle against each other. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to compete with each other. So many times I see, especially in Christian athletics, that rage begins to build. I've got to beat him. Before you know it, you do something stupid just because of the fact that you're letting the flesh control you. Don't let the flesh control you. Let me give you just one last thought, and I'll finish. Statement number last. Jealousy is the result of dissatisfaction in your life. Jealousy is the result of, here's what they say. The best read books in America is the how-tos. Can I tell you what the best read subject matter is in America? Books on success. Success. They're the best read books in America, books on success. You know why people read books on success? Because they feel like that they are not. Or they feel like that they want to become more. They feel like that they're low achievers. Now, by the way, I'm for you getting knowledge. I'm for you becoming successful. I'm for you making lots of money and tithe. I'm for it. Support missionaries. I'm for it, 100%. Help us buy more gospel tracts and give them away. I'm for it, 100%. Let's do as much as we can during this meager, short, earthly life that we have to be able to get the gospel out. I'm for it 100%. But can I tell you this? Don't allow jealousy to be the result of you becoming dissatisfied in your life. I don't understand how come he's being used. Well, I don't understand how come she's being used. Well, I don't understand how come, that person's getting to do this. Well, don't forget, it's God that lifts up and God that puts down. All right, let's understand that we need to be satisfied with the way that God is using each of us individually. And by the way, if God uses you to do anything in your life, you ought to be humbled by that, not proud. be humbled by that. My God gave me the privilege to. Thank the Lord for that. Don't be somebody that gets all proud and arrogant. Jonathan, when he was younger, he started playing piano and getting pretty good. And I told him one day, I said, son, if you ever get proud and you ever get arrogant about that, I'll jerk you off of that piano as quick as you can blink an eye. Because you need to be doing it for the Lord. I don't want you to be playing the piano and thinking that you're somebody. I don't want that ever to be an attitude of yours. You do it for the Lord. You do it to help others. Now, may I say, jealousy is the result of dissatisfaction in your life. 1 Peter chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. Somebody asked me in the hallway, they said, preacher, where are you going for Christmas? I said, home. Home. We got a lot of members traveling even now, and they're heading out. You know, they got some extra days off, and they're heading out. That's wonderful. God bless you. I'm so glad that I don't have to go anywhere. I'm just glad. You know, I go to enough airports. I definitely don't want to go to an airport on a busy holiday. Yeah, I've seen enough people lose their cool. I turned to one guy the other day. I was in an airport flying out somewhere to preach, and he's here, and I turned to him and said, take an aspirin. He said, pardon me? I said, take an aspirin. You'll settle down by and by. You know, I mean, you know, people, you can't control the weather. Blows my mind. By the time we go to these airports and people think, they get mad at those little girls, you know, it's working behind those counters. And they get mad when all of a sudden I call it a lane change, but they get mad when all of a sudden they have to go to a different place, you know. And I've seen some of the most ridiculous acting adults. I mean, just crazy nuts, you know. All right, I'm saying, but godliness with contentment, it's great gain. So be satisfied for what God's given you. Walk in your house tonight and say, God, thank you for my house. Thank you that you've given me the privilege to be able to be a steward in this house. God bless you. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Get in the car and drive home tonight and thank God for the heat. You got heat. Amen. And if you don't have heat, thank God you got a jacket. If you don't have a jacket, thank God you've got socks. You can find something to thank God for. You sure can. You know, so be somebody, if you would please, that's not jealous of things. You know, so I don't think I'm getting many Christmas presents. Well, I could say this in a cutting way. You probably don't deserve them. But now, wait a minute. I could say this, to be honest with you. You ought to thank God for what you do get. Amen. We had one family in our church last year, and he said, I want my kids to tell you what we're doing for Christmas. He got his kids. We went to my office. I said, oh, hey, tell me what you're all doing for Christmas. And they looked at us, and they said, this Christmas is going to be gifts for everybody else. But we've decided not to have any gifts this Christmas. You know what they did? They gave all of their gifts to kids in the bus ministry. And they didn't open one gift, and they gave them all. Now, their parents bought them the gifts, but they gave their gifts to kids in the bus ministry. You say, you're trying to make me feel bad. No, I'm not. Not at all. Give your gifts to me. I won't make you feel bad. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. Now, I am saying this, though. You know what that did for those kids, though? Here's what it did. It taught them a lesson. It's not about the gifts. As you get older, here's what you find out. You'll remember this. Those of you that are 16, when you get 61, you'll remember me standing behind this pulpit, and you'll say, I remember when Pastor Wells said that years ago. You'll remember this. Here's what you'll remember. The older you get, it does truly become more blessed to give than it does to receive. The older you get, it truly does become more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's a blessing to be able to give things to people. It's a blessing to be able to meet their needs. You know, my wife and I, we can attest to this. She could stand up and testify. Well, God has given more through us, than God has given to us. God has given more through us than God has given to us. And when God gives something through us, I had a dear man in this church here tonight, came up to me and gave me an envelope, said, "Preacher, I want to do something for a hurting family. Can you find a hurting family in the church and give this to them?" I said, "Absolutely, I can." What's that God? What's God doing? God is giving more through me than He is to me. And the older you get and the more you walk with God, the more you find out that sometimes God will give you a car, but it's not for you. It's for someone else that God says, "I want to use you to give it." Well, it might be a house. It might be a trip somewhere. It might be that food. It might be shoes. It might be a tie. But the more you walk with the Lord, the more you'll find out that things, they don't mean so much anymore. But helping people means a whole lot. So don't become jealous over things. Can't take them with you. Can't take them with you. They're not going with you. But you can help others. You can be a friend to others. And sometimes you just have to give yourself. You say, "Preacher, I don't have anything." You got yourself. You got yourself. When I worked in the bus ministry heavily, when we lived in Brooklyn, New York, heavily, I preached to all the bus kids, pastors preaching upstairs. I was in the basement. We were in about 150, I guess, children that I preached to, and then I preached to the teenagers. And then in the morning time, some of the teenagers were my workers in the children's church, and I preached to them. A little girl came up to me, and I'd always tell little kiddos, I'd say, "Sure do love you, proud of you." A little girl came out, and never forget it. She looked at me and she said, "You're the first person I ever," and she's probably 9 or 10 or so, and she said, "You're the first person I ever heard to say, 'I love you and I'm proud of you.'" I said, "No, you're kidding me. Your mom and daddy probably tells you that all the time." And she said, no, "I don't know my daddy. I live with my mama, and I've never heard that." She said, "That's why I love this church." I said, "We're good. I'm so proud of you." Now, can I tell you, listen, sometimes you just give yourself. You just give yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.